Good afternoon. I'm going to call the meeting of the Finance Committee to order. It's Monday, April 21st at 12:01. Clerk, can you please call the roll?
Pirtle Gimme.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Avalos.
Present.
Zimmerman.
Here. Christopher, if you could read the statement of conduct, please.
Welcome to the meeting of the Finance Committee. To testify before this committee in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance on the committee agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda/finance-committee or by calling 311. Information on engaging with the committee can be found at this link. Registration for virtual testimony closes 1 hour prior to the meeting. In-person testifiers must sign up before the agenda item is heard. If public testimony will be taken on an item, individuals may testify for 3 minutes unless the chair states otherwise. Your microphone will be muted when your time is over. The chair preserves order. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or committee deliberations will not be allowed. If you cause a disruption, a warning will be given. Further disruption will result in ejection from the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave once ejected is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, the committee may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Your testimony should address the matter being considered. When testifying, state your name for the record. If you are a lobbyist, identify the organization you represent. Virtual testifiers should unmute themselves when the clerk calls your name. Thank you.
Great. Colleagues, we're going to hear a presentation from Councillor Novick and team. And then depending on the time of this meeting, I will have to step away and I will hand the gavel to the vice chair for the meeting if it runs long. And with that, clerk, if you could read item number one, and we'll hand it over to Mr. Novick.
Discuss proposal regarding additional revenue to protect vital services.
Take it away, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we do have slides, we'll get to those, but I wanted to make some preliminary remarks. We, as everybody knows, have a budget deficit, and we actually have several deficits in different bureaus, but we have a deficit in the general fund, which overwhelmingly goes to police, fire, other public safety programs, parks, and homeless services. I am not particularly excited about making deep cuts in any of those things. And that's one of the reasons I started thinking about looking for ways to raise revenue. I suspect that most of my colleagues aren't excited about making cuts in those things either. And I actually have a real concern that we might wind up rubber stamping the mayor's budget. Because when the mayor's budget comes out, some people will be upset in some ways, some people will be upset in others. We'll have very limited time to try to come to consensus on additions and subtractions. And I worry that we might end up just saying the simplest thing to do is just approve the mayor's budget. It changes the dynamic if we have additional revenue to work with, and you'll make it easier to come to consensus, as long with, I think, being the right thing to do, because I don't think we should be making deep cuts in police, fire, parks, or homeless services. And there's other things that worry me too. The Portland Bureau of Emergency Management barely exists and is threatened by sort of a federal loyalty oath thing that they're probably going to be asked to take to swear fealty to the Trump administration priorities. Another thing that worries me is that we're going to be slashing our permitting bureau, which will make it very difficult to deal with our housing crisis. And historically, the general fund contributed, I think, $5 million a year to that. So even aside from police, fire, parks, and homeless services, there's reasons to think about additional revenue. I came up with a particular additional revenue source to talk about. I'm open to hearing about others. This is just the one that came to my mind, and for various reasons, I thought it was worth presenting. First slide. This is the first slide. Second slide.
If we could, I'm just going to check in with Councillor Alves. I know you have your hand up.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Please proceed.
So to recite things we already know, the current budget deficit, and I realize deficit in this case includes the mayor's proposed $28 million, which some people think should be counted as deficit, but let's just assume for the sake of argument. As of February 28th, we thought we had a $92.8 million deficit. including a 20 million plus revenue gap based on previous forecasts, adjusting for 40 million in expiring one-time funding, mostly directed towards homeless services and public safety, 28 million for Mayor Wilson's overnight and day shelter plan, and other various costs. Since the February 28th forecast, actually contemporaneously, the city administrators recommended using 8.7 million in interest from the PSEF fund, which I frankly am somewhat uncomfortable with, but let's assume for the sake of argument that we go along with that. And Metro has pledged 15 million towards the general fund, which would reduce our total funding gap to, I mean, I'm sorry, 15 million towards the mayor's shelter plan, sorry, which would reduce the total funding gap to 59 million. 59 million is still a big chunk of money. Next slide. So in thinking about revenue options, one thing that came to mind is to use the same taxing mechanism that we used the Portland Clean Energy Fund, a mechanism that was adopted by over 60% of Portland voters in 2018. As you know, PSEF was designed to address climate change and environmental justice. It's funded through a 1% gross receipts tax on giant corporations that make $1 billion nationally, at least 500,000 in the Portland area. The fund is estimated to raise The fund is estimated to raise $1.7 billion through 2029. Almost all of these funds are currently allocated through 2029, with about 46% allocated to city bureaus. Next slide. To reiterate what I said about my personal feelings about an all-cuts budget, we have heard from the public in various ways that they're probably not that excited about an all-cuts budget either. The city administrator's proposal on the 28th of February focused a lot of cuts on parks and rec, particularly rec, and we heard a lot of people saying they didn't like those cuts kind of in our budget listening sessions. There was a recent poll that showed 31% of Portlanders said parks are their favorite feature of the city. We suspect cuts to police, fire, homeless services, additional cuts to parks program would also not be acceptable. As to homeless services, there was a recent poll by the Oregonian that said that 63% of Portlanders have a negative outlook on the central city because of homelessness and safety concerns. I don't think that we can change our trajectory from doom to boom by cutting services. Cutting homeless services will only exacerbate the current crisis. Public safety continues to be a priority for Portlanders and business owners, and cutting parks programming will only hurt Portlanders and make the city less appealing to live in, and that's not good for the economy either. Next slide. Now, the only alternative that I've heard, frankly, from other councilors to raising new revenue, the only alternative to an all-cuts budget is the idea of using PSEF funds to help balance the budget. In particular, I've had a fellow councilors suggest that we should start using PSEF funds to pay for outdoor parks maintenance. Well, the idea of using PSEF funds to fix a budget crisis is not new. Mayor Wheeler proposed using PSEF funds previously, and the council has authorized PSEF interest to fill the budget gaps. Also, I should note that not only some fellow councilors, but some people of the listening session said, why don't you just balance the budget using PSEF funds? We're already doing a lot of that, which we'll elaborate on in a minute, more than I'm comfortable with, frankly. And I think that dipping into the current PSEF funds of about $200 million a year to help balance our budget would be unacceptable. It would reduce funding for climate and environmental justice projects for low-income Portlanders and communities of color. Since most of the money has already been allocated, we'd have to take away funding from grants programs and projects that were already allocated. I think that it would be inconsistent with the will of the voters who passed the PSEF ballot measure in 2018, not to maintain the status quo, but to improve our efforts to reduce carbon emissions and shield vulnerable communities from the worst effects of climate change and make sure they participate in what we hope will be a new clean energy economy. And it would prevent Portland and further dipping into PSEF to maintain current services would prevent us from meeting our emissions goals and being a beacon to other cities and climate issues. So again, I concluded that we need to look at other potential revenue sources. Next slide. Oh, by the way, just an elaboration on what I just said, this is how much money city bureaus are already getting from PSEF. Parks is getting a big chunk over the next 5 years. Next slide. So the proposal that I wanted to put on the table, and by the way, I'm not going to try to make a hard sell today. I wanted to put an idea on the table. The proposal would increase the current surcharge in giant retailers from 1% to 1.33%. Again, that only affects corporations with at least $1 billion in national revenue and $500,000 in sales in Portland. Only 1% of these companies, according to the Revenue Bureau, are headquartered in Portland. Although the proposal uses the same tax mechanism as PSEF, the additional revenue would be directed towards the general fund, and PSEF would keep its 1%, its $200 million a year. Groceries, pharmaceuticals, and some other necessities aren't affected by the current PSEF surcharge. They wouldn't be taxed under the increase either. Now, I said before that the fact that 60% of voters approved the PSEF tax in 2018 suggests that maybe voters would be amenable to using the same mechanism for helping us to address our budget shortfall. Well, recently, Councillor Pirtle-Gidding and I commissioned a poll of Portlanders on the choices facing us, asking a lot of questions about trade-offs. And we got the top lines of that poll back the other day. The results are very interesting. The pollster is writing up a memo, and we will release the entire poll on Wednesday morning. But just as a preview, I wanted to tell you that I did want to ask the question after we discussed the cuts that we are considering in council and the mayor is considering. There's a proposal to add 0.33% to this 1% tax giant retailers pay that would be enough to address a lot of these cuts. Would you support or oppose that proposal? And 69% of people said that as an alternative to the kind of cuts that we are considering, they would prefer to adopt a tax of this nature. Next slide. We also are proposing a tax break for small businesses. Currently, there's an exemption to the business license tax, which is only $50,000. We're proposing, and by the way, when I say we, I neglected to add that Councillor Murillo and Councillor Dunphy are my co-sponsors on this measure. And this item is one that we're all interested in. Councillor Dunphy is particularly passionate about raising the business license exemption from $50,000 to $100,000, which is consistent with where Multnomah County is. This change would provide tax relief to over 9,300 small businesses in the city. It would decrease our tax revenue by around $3 million, according to the city economist. Next slide. I want to be clear. I don't want to get into a discussion of legal issues surrounding this proposal. I think that discussions about legal issues should take place with the city attorney behind closed doors so that we don't violate attorney-client privilege. I did want to make a couple of preliminary factual points. Can the city council amend existing taxes? Well, we have before. In 2016, I was the prime sponsor of a change to the business license tax, which says that companies that pay their CEOs more than 100 times what they pay their typical worker pay a surcharge on the business license tax. They pay more than they would if they weren't paying their CEOs such agile amounts of money. So we passed that. That's been in law for the past 8 years. Also wanted to note that although Portland and other cities in Oregon are preempted from creating new corporate activity taxes by the Student Success Act passed in 2019, that does allow for amendments to the existing taxes. Specifically, the preemption clause does not apply, quote, to any tax or to subsequent amendments of the provisions of any tax if the ordinance or other law imposing the tax is in effect and operative on April 1st, 2019, or is adopted by initiative or referendum petition at an election held prior to March 1, 2019. And of course, the PSEF tax falls within those timelines. Next slide. So here's what the city economist and the budget office and the revenue people are telling us. The ordinance would generate approximately $66 million per year, the tax increase, subtract out the $3 million a year for the business, small business exemption. We were told that 10% of funds would be required to be saved in contingency. So that means we wind up with about $56 million in additional revenue to the general fund. This proposal would make the tax retroactive to January 1st, 2025. And while there might be a slight delay in collecting funds, the full amount would be collected by the end of the fiscal year. businesses would not need to amend their current taxes, would just pay the balance in full by the end of the year. Had conversations with our budget director, Levine, and she said that, you know, she thought the cash, I mean, she's not particularly concerned about cash flow issues, although she might elaborate on that. So so this is a proposal that would help us balance our budget and help us avoid massive cuts to critical services without tapping into the existing 1% PSEF tax revenue of $200 million a year. Next slide. And this just sort of reiterates what I already said. 0.33% tax increase, provide some budget flexibility, allow us to have more discretion when making decisions, reduce pressure to use the actual clean energy fund to plug budget holes, reduce the tax burden on small businesses. Next slide. Although the council, we are not allowed to know unless we like wrote to them and asked for their permission, which specific corporations are subject to the PSEF tax or any tax for that matter. The Revenue Bureau can tell us that there's about 500 businesses currently paying the surcharge and only about 1% of those are headquartered in Oregon. You would expect that some of the corporations affected would be things like Apple and Target, which respectively made $391 billion and $107 billion nationally in 2024. And they obviously would pay negligible amounts compared to their overall revenue because Portland sales represent only a small fraction of their business. And again, it's only 0.33%. Next slide. In terms of effects on consumers, there's a question as to whether retailers would pass on the tax to consumers, and if so, which ones? This is a tax that is paid by headquarters, wherever headquarters is. We send them the bill and they pay it. So the question is, are they going to respond by raising their prices just in Portland by 0.33%? And it seems, I mean, this is not scientific, but my staff guy, Zach Ward, who's operating these slides, just checked around and looked at various products and how much do they cost in Portland? How much do they cost in Medford? Do they cost 1% more in Portland than in Medford? And as far as Nike men's Air Max shoes and Goodfellow sneakers sold by Target and Apple MacBook Air, all of which we can reasonably assume are subject to the tax, the prices in Portland and Medford are exactly the same. And there was research done on this topic in the context of Measure 97 statewide years ago that it seems like a lot of big companies have national or regional pricing structures, and they're just going to absorb a tax like this into those structures. They're not going to respond by raising the prices by a tiny bit in Portland. Now, some of them probably will. In fact, I think I was told that one company like displays, here is the Portland tax on their on your receipts. But I've only heard of one company that's doing that. We could be missing some. So again, could companies pass it on? They could. It seems that administratively, it doesn't make sense for them to do it. If they did pass it on, that would increase the cost of a $50 item to $50.16. Next slide. We have been soliciting community input. We've been reaching out and having conversations with the PSEF committee and other community stakeholders. We've talked with 350 PDX, the Sierra Club, the Coalition of Communities of Color. We'll continue to do so. We're continuing to have those conversations. Before this proposal is heard at the full council, if it is, it'll be reviewed by the PSEF committee, who will offer a staff report in their opinion. Next slide. This goes back to, we kind of mixed up the slides here. When the City Club of Portland looked at the PSEF tax in 2018, they concluded that such a municipality-specific corporate surcharge wouldn't increase price. Well, there wasn't research supporting that it would increase prices just in this city. Next slide. Councilor Avalos raised in our climate committee meeting, she said she's worried that this would sort of put us on a slippery slope to dip into PSEF revenues for the general fund. And she drew a comparison to the utility license fee, which back in the day, the city said that it was going to use 28% of it for transportation. And that quickly ceased to be the case. We wanted to point out that there's differences between those two examples. PSEF is administered or at least advised by the PSEF advisory board. There's strong language mandating that the amount collected by 1% tax is specifically dedicated to climate projects. Whereas with the utility license fee, The city only ever described revenue use for 28% for transportation projects as a target. There wasn't specific language that dedicated the utility license fee to any specific purpose, and all revenue was placed directly into the general fund before being allocated. And the other thing I would reiterate is that right now, there's nothing that prevents council from rating PSEF for the general fund. If the two colleagues that I've spoken of got five other votes for taking PSEF to spend on parks maintenance, they could decide, they could theoretically take half of PSEF, $100 million to spend on parks maintenance, because that's what the annual parks maintenance budget is. Next slide, please. We've heard that Portlanders, based on what we've heard from a number of constituents, it seems unlikely that Portlanders want an all cuts budget. We now have a poll suggesting that Portlanders are open to the idea of raising revenue as opposed to an all cuts budget. I am worried that an alternative to an all cuts budget might wind up being we further raise PSEF, and I want to fend that off, further raid PSEF. Passing this increase will create fewer prescribed restrictions to the upcoming city budget. We allow us to better respond to the priorities of our constituents. It would help save programs that matter most to our communities, and it would protect the initial 100% PSEF tax and the revenues from it that voters supported in 2018. Ultimately, if council wants to start to meet our climate goals and to turn the doom loop into a boom loop, we need to look at new revenue. This option has public support. I am open to other revenue options. I'm also open, frankly, to the extent that we can, Madam President, consistent with state budget law, which violates the First Amendment by saying we can't talk about SEF, in my view. I'm open to having a conversation about where we are, the five of us, about what are some people thinking about, are we comfortable with a budget that cuts X, cuts Y, cuts Z, to the extent we can do that, speaking sort of generally. I feel that I can't think of any parts of our general fund budget that I'm really excited about cutting. So I wanted to put a revenue option on the table. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Councillor. I think we've got a few people in the queue, and I'll just go down the line here. So Councillor Avalos, first to you.
All right, thank you, Chair. So I've got some remarks and then I have some questions. As folks know, we talked about this in the Climate Land Use Committee, and so I shared comments. I'm sharing updated comments that reflect new information, including what was in the PowerPoint. So again, I'm here with deep concerns about this proposal to increase the clean energy surcharge and direct additional revenue to the general fund. This is not just a technical adjustment. I believe this is a high-risk maneuver that puts the PSEF and our city's climate and racial justice commitments on the chopping block. Again, this is a proposal that uses the same legal structure voters approved in 2018. It raises the rate, changes where the money goes, and does all of that without strong input from the PSEF committee, community engagement, and without voter approval. We've been told that this doesn't impact PSEF, and that it's actually protecting the fund because supposedly council is under pressure to rate it. But this idea that we're shielding PSEF from an imaginary threat, to me, I believe is misleading, but also is backwards. This proposal is the threat to PSEF. Because once we use the clean energy surcharge mechanism to fund something else, even if it's technically a separate stream, we've cracked that firewall and the political precedent is set. I will again bring up the utility license fee and I'll adjust based on the information that I've heard. You'll hear that it's not the same, that the ULF lacked an advisory board, didn't have strong dedicatory language, but that misses the point for me. The ULF is a cautionary tale, not because of its mechanics, but because of how political behavior changes over time when the structure allows it. When the ULF was created in 1988 to fund street repairs, at first it worked, then it was put in the general fund, and as we saw, it became vulnerable. When budgets got tight, it was slowly redirected from 20 to 40. Now 97% of the ULF goes to other things other than transportation. And it didn't all happen at once. It happened because the political structure allowed it. And future councils will always find a way to access a revenue source that's already been used once for something new. So that is my main fear for this proposal, not that it mirrors the ULF's policy language, but that it mirrors its political trajectory. And let's be clear, this proposal isn't just politically risky. I believe it is legally risky. I encourage all of you to consult with the city attorney's office and make your own assessments, but I have had those conversations, and for me, the risks are too high. If the city is challenging court and we lose, we're not just back to square one. We've compromised the credibility of the program and the trust of our communities. And even if legal challenges don't materialize right away, the damage to PSEF's public trust and political durability will be done. Voters created this fund with the understanding it would be dedicated, community-driven, and climate-focused. This proposal violates that trust. We also don't know if this revenue will even arrive in time to fix the FY25-6 budget. The fiscal questions, which I'll be asking after this, are still real and unanswered. Portlanders overwhelmingly voted for PSEF because they believed in a vision, a climate fund driven by the community, not by the political winds of City Hall. So I do not want us to undermine that vision. I don't believe we should be gambling on a shaky legal foundation, and I don't think we should be treating voter trust like a revenue stream. I believe there are better, safer, and more transparent ways to generate revenue, and I want us to do it right. So with that, I've got some questions. I'm gonna focus today on revenue specifically, since we are in the Finance Committee. I see we have revenue folks or tax folks in the audience. Thank you. There's a copy from my chief of staff because I have all the questions lined out. I'm going to skip the first one because we've talked about the projected additional revenues. But I want to zero in a little bit on particularly what CBO Director Ruth Levine suggested last time. So my question is, will the full amount of that revenue be available to budget in FY25-6? What are the risks? What risks are there to retroactively applying the tax at the start of the year? And in particular, during that last committee meeting, CBO Director Ruth Levine suggested that budgeting less than the full amount and placing the rest in contingency. So what is the rationale behind that recommendation, and what does it signal about the reliability of the revenue?
Sure. For the record, Ruth Levine, City Budget Office Director. There was a couple of questions embedded there, so I'll just start and tell me if I missed something. So I guess I'll start with the last one. So I mentioned last in the climate committee that I would recommend looking at placing a significant portion of the first year's worth of revenue into contingency. I think there are a couple of rationales for that. I think the first one is, I think there is uncertainty in terms of there's definitely uncertainty in terms of exactly how much this tax increase would generate for a number of reasons. One is there's general uncertainty in the economy. Another is that there is a question, I think, of how taxpayers would respond to the increased tax. Like when you add a new tax, it takes a couple of years for them to catch up and actually start paying it. So this is a little bit less clear in my mind, because there's, and I'm sure Thomas can speak to this as well, there's an increase of an existing tax. So would they pay it in the first year, or would they make up for it later? So I think there's uncertainty there. And so that would be another reason to place some of it into contingency. And then I think there's a third, more technical point that Peter has about how we account for these with credit carry forwards, which I barely know how to say those words, so I don't think we should talk about that right now. But in any case, there's, I would just say, a fair amount of uncertainty. And that was why I recommended that if council were to adopt this, that you not plan for the first year on the full amount of the tax collections that are anticipated based on kind of the projections that we've made. I think you had another question, which is, would the revenues be available for 25-26? So I think there are, you know, a couple of ways to look at this. The way the ordinance is currently written, it would direct a portion of the revenues in the PSEF fund to be redirected to the general fund. And that portion is based on the leaving the PSEF amount whole, in essence, only taking the increased portion, putting it back towards the general fund. I think so. There is a timing question in that there's, you know, based on what I just said, some uncertainty around exactly how much more you would collect in the first year, but that portion would be redirected to the general fund nonetheless. And so I think there's not really a cash flow issue for that reason, because there's tax revenue is going to come into the BSEF fund, that much we know. And we just don't know what the exact number would be if you increased it to 1.33%. And so I think, again, it just gets to the not planning to spend the entire increase. I don't think it's an issue in terms of timing, as much as it is an issue in terms of like what's the amount that you can count on, especially if we're moving towards using this revenue source to fund ongoing general fund programming, which it by and large is not right now. The last kind of, and then there's sort of a, I think, unrelated question, which is probably not where you're going with this, but around like the timing of when council actually votes, if council votes on this ordinance, how that would be reflected in the budget, which is sort of a separate question and does sort of raise some questions about what could be counted in the 25-26 budget, in that basically what I said to Councillor Novick is I would want to know, it would need to be reflected in the approved budget on May 21st, because it's big enough that it would risk triggering the 10% rule after that. And so there would need to be enough certainty on it that council could vote on and an amendment to the proposed budget and incorporate that by May 21st. I don't know if that answers all your questions.
Yes, it does. Okay, and then sounds like you've seen a copy of the ordinance. So then I'm curious, under this proposal, what structurally distinguishes the 1% portion going to PSEF from the 0.33% going to the general fund? More specifically, is there anything in this ordinance that prevents future councils from rebalancing or even eliminating the PSEF portion?
So what distinguishes it structurally is just the math. So basically it raises the way it's written, and Councillor Novick, please correct me if I'm getting something wrong here. I believe the way it's written right now is that it raises the rate from 1% to 1.33%, so 4/3, and it takes 3/4 of the total and directs it towards the general fund.
1/4.
Sorry, thank you. 1/4. Sorry. So the total total amount going to PSEF is going to be 4/3 of what it is, would be 4/3 of what it is right now. 3/4 of that 4/3 would stay in PSEF, which is 1. Does that make sense?
No, but that's okay. I guess I'm not understanding what the quarter is coming from. I'm looking at 0.33. What's the quarter about?
It's a counselor. It's when you increase 1 to 1.33, then 1.3, then 0.33 is 1/4 of 1.33. So the new total will be 1.33. We're taking 1/4 of that and directing it to the general fund. That is the idea.
Okay. No, I get that.
And then to answer the second portion of your question, I don't think it would change the structure as it is currently. I mean, it wouldn't change the structure as it is currently, which is to say that council can always choose to rebalance by changing code with respect to how much PSEF funds they direct elsewhere.
Okay, let me end it there. I have a couple more questions, but I want to hear from my colleagues and I'll ask you some more later. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor. We'll go to Councillor Green.
Thank you, Chair. So I think you may have answered my question, Ruth. I had made a little asterisk in Councillor Novick's presentation that had said 10% of funds are required to be saved in contingency. That's a suggestion for first year funds, right? Or are you suggesting that we need to encumber 10% of any ongoing future revenues in a contingency fund?
So I think what that's referring to is that we have financial policy that sets general reserves at 10% of general fund discretionary, and that this would become new general fund discretionary, which would mean the total general reserve would need to increase in proportion to the amount, the extra amount that would go into the general fund as a result of this proposal. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you. That's helpful. Answers the question. Councillor Novick, I'm curious about this poll. Can you share a little bit more of the details? I mean, I think I guess I am not surprised to hear that you found in the poll that voters were willing to go along with a tax increase if they thought it held harmless certain programs, because I felt like that's what I was hearing in those listening sessions. But I would like to know a little bit more about how you maybe frame that poll question.
So the poll was asking, and as you'll see on Wednesday, it was asking people about the trade-offs we're looking at in the budget. So there's questions that ask big, broad questions among the big service areas. What are you more or less likely to be willing to cut? And then within the service areas, specific items, which do you think is more important than which? And then between service areas, which do you think is more important than which? And then at the end, we said there's this proposal to raise revenue. Would you prefer that to seeing the kind of cuts we've been discussing, basically? And 69% said yes. Now, I know some people will say, well, you only asked that question after you told people what the cuts were. And I would say, yes, the whole poll is about trade-offs. And if you think the only poll that's valid is one where you don't tell people the trade-offs, then you won't like this poll. But we thought it was reasonable to tell people the trade-offs that we're dealing with, the ones we're actually dealing with, and then say, would you prefer this as an alternative? I think one thing that gives the poll extra credibility is that more than 60% of Portlanders adopted this tax mechanism for another purpose just 7 years ago. So it's not that surprising that a similar number would favor it for this purpose. I mean, I will tell you, just as a point of comparison, the same pollster last year, I think, asked people in the Portland area, would you rather raise taxes or cut services? And 54% said they'd rather cut services. Now, that is a problematic poll too, because it didn't say what services or which taxes. And there was a poll fairly recently that showed that over a third of people in the Portland area don't think that they've used a government service in the last year. So people don't think very much about government services except in the concrete when you tell them about it. So there's any ways of asking any question. We ask this question as an alternative to making the kind of cuts we're talking about. Just in the rest of the poll, we ask people, would you prefer to cut this as opposed to that?
Thank you. That's helpful. I think that I would say that it's when we think about taxes, it's framed up as like Portlanders can't tolerate any new tax, or the governor has gave us permit or guidance not to raise taxes, or sort of these broad kind of sweeping sentiments, which if you pull them in a general sense might confirm that. But I suspect you'd see the same response if voters were to be considering any tax increase, like whether it's a utility license fee. Maybe if the poll was to say, do you support more firmly allocating where the utility license tax fee goes? Should it go back to trans? Like, I think that voters would say, yes, I do, if it means that I get this. And I don't say that necessarily undermine the case, but really to say that how we talk about taxes and voter intent matters in this city for driving policy. I don't know where I'm at on this, by the way. I am sensitive to I want to talk to an attorney myself and not talk about legal strategy at the dais, but I'm not for or against at this point. The concept, I do think, I understand, Councilor Avalos, your argument around the political threat on, or the sort of attack on PSEF. Maybe I see where you're coming from on that, because city council can always say no, hold the line. But I actually think that we need to think, I do think there's a real threat and temptation that after we receive the mayor's budget and we see what's there, people are going to say this is unacceptable, and they're going to look to bring amendments to bear on the question. And so whether it's about this or not, we do need to be prepared to respond accordingly with our values. And so I'll just leave my comments there.
Thanks, Councilor. We'll go to Vice Chair Pertlegini.
Thank you. Ruth, I'm wondering if you can help me understand when funds would be available a little bit better. You talked about the amount we would need to set aside, the fact that it would probably be higher in the first year. Councilor Novick is talking about this being a retroactive tax. What are we actually talking about in terms of numbers if this were to pass in the first year? And when would those funds be available? Is this actually something we would be including in our budget, or would we still be making cuts and then doing a budget adjustment later if we were to pass this?
Yeah, so I mean, I think I would say, I would recommend that with, if it's, you know, if it were going forward as it's currently proposed, that, and the council were to decide on it before, by May 21st, so that it could be reflected in the approved budget, that that it would be, you know, reasonable to assume some revenues from it in the first year, and that it would be reasonable to assume some ongoing revenue. I think, and Peter's not here today, but I think the number is 66 million net of the business license tax.
63 net.
Thank you. And so, you know, after you kind of put 10% of that into the reserve and then put a portion of it into contingency, you know, we'd have to have some further conversations about what exactly to do with contingency. But, you know, I don't know, something like $40+ million is roughly the ballpark you're talking about. But, you know, don't I recognize I'm on the record, but subject to additional conversation. In terms of timing and how that would play out in terms of actual receipts, you know, I mean, we're always budgeting to a forecasted revenue number, and then that gets trued up and we try to forecast conservatively, and to make sure that we're not, you know, booking any expenses against revenue that might not appear. I think the thing to keep in mind is the way this is written right now is that, again, it takes a portion of the funding from the PSEF fund and redirects it to the general fund. And so the, you know, the amount that would be redirected is a quarter of the total PSEF funds. And the question then is just, what is the total, what is the number that PSEF collects? Is it 190 million? Is it, you know, what, I don't know what Peter forecasted with the 1.33, whatever that is, and where is it? Where does it fall within those bounds? And so that's why I would, you know, we would just want to forecast conservatively in terms of what you would actually collect, but the timing of it is less important because of the way that it's written.
So if I could just jump in for a moment. I'm Thomas Lanham. I'm the Revenue Division Director, Chair Zimmerman, Vice Chair Pertlegany. Thank you for having me here today. So Peter's forecast was 66 million for fiscal year. The increase would be $66 million to the clean energy surcharge receipts, which is separate from PSEF under this proposal. And then there'd be a $3 million write down for the business license tax, assuming that piece went forward with the increased exemption, and then the 10% set aside. So that's where you get to about $56 million net. This group of taxpayers are highly compliant. They would be getting assuming council action in June, they would all be getting a letter in July from the Revenue Division, notifying them of the rate change, and they would have 10 months of runway to make an adjustment to get their tax year 25 payments in on time in April of 2026, which is in the fourth quarter of fiscal year 25-26. So that's how you get to the bulk of the revenue falling into the current, into the fiscal year that we're 25-26. So I would not anticipate confusion amongst taxpayers or a lack of compliance with this particular group.
Councilors, Councilor Novick started by saying that he was not excited about deep cuts. And I also am not excited about deep cuts, but we are going to get a balanced budget from the mayor. And we are going to have the opportunity to think about whether those are the right cuts or not. And I want to think more about the concerns that Councillor Avalos is raising, because I do share some concern about the risk. I have also talked to the attorneys. You and the rest of our colleagues got an email from me earlier today responding to the fact that the mayor and a number of other folks have sent emails about what we should do about PSEF. And I want to make sure that we all have common information that we're working from, not just as it relates to this revenue proposal, but the broader conversations that Councillors Novick and Avalos have both raised around PSEF and how councilors may or may not interact with it as we move forward. I also just want to put in the conversation the fact that we have a number of revenue proposals that are going to be coming forward, I would guess, over the next 6 to 12 months from councilors. We have folks who are talking about how we address our deferred maintenance. We have a parks levy we'll need to consider. And I'd like to make sure that as we continue to have conversations about this proposal, that we do so in the context of thinking about the broader revenue conversations that we'll need to be having as a council and how we address all of these needs together. I think there's just a bigger picture there that I want to make sure we keep in mind as we think about how we approach the budget that we get from the mayor and the decisions that we make over the next year about our priorities. I have a lot of other thoughts, but I want to make sure we have time for everybody. So I may get back in the queue.
Thanks. I put myself in the queue here. Just a couple questions, I guess. So I am one of the two that Councillor Novick spoke about who has interest in using some PSEF funds. Unfortunately, the second part of that sentence doesn't really ever get covered by the media, which is as it relates to climate projects, right? And I've made that case to you about the $7.5 million we spend on natural park maintenance. So I think of like Forest Park. So I think that connection to PSEF is quite sound, actually. But I'm really not talking about the $200 million that it collects each year. I'm really talking about the exorbitant amount of contingency and being the only program that I can see in the city who's allowed to savings account their funds for 5 years. I don't really see that happening except in large capital projects, but it is in PSEF. So I'm talking really about their excess revenues when I talk about PSEF, but not their day in and day out yearly stuff. But given that, I guess one of the concerns I have, Counselor, is SHS, Preschool for All, and PSEF are all these specialty one-off taxes that have raised huge amounts of revenue compared to what they thought they were going to, and then an inability to get those revenues out in the year that they were collected and what they were intended for. Now, SHS went through their right sizing, and the county did a lot to get a lot of money out the door. But we just learned again last week that Preschool for All has $500 million sitting in the bank. PSEF has $500 million sitting in the bank. What would keep us, just in your thoughts, like how do we ensure that funds we raise in this community go out to service within that year or the next year thereafter?
I don't think that we should. PSEF has, yes, they have money in the bank now, but the money has been allocated for the next 5 years. I personally think that PSEF should do more of what we just did some of with the 82nd Avenue Bus Rapid Transit Project. If there's anything that reduces carbon emissions and benefits low-income people and people of color, it's giving people an alternative to driving an expensive car. So as we all know, transit projects take a long time. And in general, I think you and I have different philosophies. I would rather spend the money right than spend it fast. The PSEF tax has generated more revenue than expected, but let's be honest, $30 million would have been a piddling amount to help us reduce our carbon emissions and help protect vulnerable people from the impacts of climate change and enable them to participate in the green energy economy. But I don't think that PSEF has raised, quote, too much money. I'm delighted that it's raised more than expected. And I think that we could spend every dollar of that money doing things that relate to climate. And I do not think that it's a good idea to start spending huge chunks of it simply continuing to do things that the city was already doing, like having a park system, which in some, which to me has more limited relationship to climate than doing things like improving transit. So I, this proposal obviously would use the same tax revenue, same tax mechanism to raise money for the general fund, which is spent year to year. But I think that, you know, of all of the, I don't think that there's a problem that PSEF isn't spending the money as fast as it comes in.
Sure. And I get that, but I think, you know, the point you make about the general fund is probably we will get it out. I mean, in terms of when I think about, cause I, you know, this ordinance will come next week and I'm still debating where I'm at, but leaning toward that, I think this is appropriate for the full council to hear. And I think about the future of the SHS and how much that fund has raised. And we just heard a report last week, and I'll be sharing with the Housing and Homelessness Committee this week, that our number is over 14,000 homeless people in our community now, 5 years after that tax was created. And so I think that would have no chance to pass for its re-up if it was to go to the voters today. And I think that the likelihood that Multnomah County can sell that measure, or that Metro can sell that measure to the average voter today who is taxed on $125,000 as income, because those two governments consider that to be high earners, is concerning, right? I think it's very likely that that tax will expire in the very near future. And so this mechanism is interesting to me from a perspective of, if we are no longer sending a $30 million check to the joint office in the future, if the SHS is not able to be renewed by Metro, Portland will be in a lot of ways on its own for a lot of these types of services. And this mechanism is something that I think bears more conversation, because the outcomes right now in the SHS world are not producing, I think, the results that people want to see. And yet Portland has 14,000 people with respect to, we're now going to be opening shelters again, which was the whole point of getting to the joint office years ago, was that we wouldn't be. We have hired 5 outreach workers, and we're about to hire another 10 outreach workers, which, by the way, is the first time the city of Portland has had outreach workers, because that's a county function. So I start to see there's an area where we have been involved in these historic, for the last 10 years to 5 years, systems that are kind of breaking down, and Portland having a revenue generating perspective is something that that's why I think you might be surprised that I am giving this some good consideration, because I think the future of some of our other partners is very bleak, and I don't know that we've made the case as a community for them. So I'm curious what your thought is on the one of the things you've heard me talk about is that, why does PSEF need to have a contingency? The reason I've thought that is, I think contingency is about emergencies. I think contingency is about unanticipated expenses or unanticipated opportunities, things that come up and we want to take advantage of. It has caused me some concern that PSEF currently sits on $100 million contingency for what I would say none of those are core services. That doesn't mean they're not important. I very much believe they are important things that PSEF is delivering. Do you consider the contingency that was spoken about, the 10%, in that same bucket of that 110 that already exists in the PSEF side of things? Or would this be a separate, like, let's send that to the general fund and keep the general fund contingency up? Because that 100 million does cause me some concern with if it's appropriate or not for a non-core function.
Well, as to the PSEF 100 million, I mean, PSEF is trying to budget for 5 years, and they have $1.6 billion worth of projects, but we all know that the cost of any individual project might increase. There might be opportunities. So to have 100 million available over the next 5 years to adjust doesn't strike me as unreasonable. I think that since this increase would be going to the general fund, I think that Director Levine was just said that the 10% of the increase would go to the general fund contingency as well.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor. I'm going to go back and cycle through. I'll just say I am going to leave in a few minutes and have Vice Chair proceed over the rest of the meeting that this will be coming for an ordinance reading in the next week. One of the areas that I'm going to be looking at and kind of considering is, would this increase potentially open us to being able to decrease individual taxpayers' burden in this community? And if there is an option or a grand deal that could be made with respect to SHS and Preschool for All and those other programs that are taxing folks at the 125, insofar as opening up an individual level of tax relief for a corporate increase. So that's kind of where I'm bopping around some thoughts right now, colleagues. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Councillor Avalos and also turn over the gavel to Vice Chair Pernell Giddy.
What a great way for you to leave me the gavel. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Wanted to talk a little more about this poll. So I guess I'm confused. It seems like the PSTEF wasn't specifically mentioned in the poll question. So did they have context for what PSTEF even is when asked this question? I mean, it seemed in general, it was tacked on at the end of a poll of lots of hard choices, right? And so I guess I'm unclear on what conclusions you are deducing from that poll, given the answer, the question you asked isn't necessarily the answer I believe you were looking for. So I'm curious your thoughts.
No, the question I asked was about to generate an answer I wanted to hear the answer to. It was the city, it did not mention PSEF. It said the city currently collects a 1% tax on these big fat corporations. And what would you think about increasing it by 0.33% and using that to help address these cuts? So that's what it says.
Okay. So noted that it did not bring up PSEF and it did not give people context to make a decision. And I think that context does matter. I'm curious, I guess, how did you arrive at the 1.33? Why not 1.5 or 2? What's the logic behind this rate that you chose? Especially if we're looking to solve an ongoing structural problem, then why limit the solution if that's your logic? So could you please explain?
My logic was that I wanted to raise a sufficient amount of money to make a significant difference in dealing with our current deficit. And I picked a number that I thought, was modest. And that's pretty much all there is to it. It wasn't based on I have done a 15-year analysis of the city's budget needs and concluded that precisely this amount would be necessary to address them all.
Okay. And I mean, this is more like a largely philosophical question, but I guess I'm just feeling that given all of this legal and revenue uncertainty, the political risks, do we feel this juice is worth squeezing? I mean, have we fully explored efficiencies, budget adjustments, and more structurally sound revenue options? Plus, given that we don't have the budget in front of us, and it seems that the urgency for this is to avoid, closures of parks and all of that, I'm curious how that aligns with what you think the mayor is going to give you. And let me just say, I agree with you that I do not want the budget to be a rubber stamp. I think we need to be in the weeds to make sure that we are authorizing, we are showing our authority on the budget. This is a larger philosophical, like, are we at a place where this is worth considering given all of the other factors, given the fact that all of these groups that you mentioned have all written in to tell you that they do not like the idea, including the PSEF committee, including the mayor. So what's the reason for going forward given all this new information we've gotten in the last week?
Well, I haven't heard from lots of groups saying they oppose it. Last I checked with Damon Mott's story and Jenny Lee, they were cautiously optimistic about it. Maybe they've changed their minds.
They do.
So the timing, I personally think that's ridiculous that we have like 2 weeks to respond to the mayor's proposed budget. And I think that I would not expect the full council to vote on this proposal until after we've seen the mayor's budget. And frankly, it wouldn't particularly upset me until we waited in a few weeks after that. Director Levine has told me that although we have to have a balanced budget in June, we can amend the budget subsequently if not like immediately, but a couple of months later. So we could theoretically have a balanced budget that's all cuts and then raise revenue and add some things back. I don't think that would be the end of the world. As to other options, if the mayor somehow comes forward with a balanced budget that resolves everything with just efficiencies and cutting extraneous managers, et cetera, then I'm happy to withdraw this proposal. If you, counselor, have a list of efficiencies that can solve our problems without raising revenue, I'm happy to listen to that. But I'm sitting here as someone who saw the administrator's proposed cuts, some of which I thought were reasonable, but a lot of which I thought were very problematic. The message I've gotten from the mayor recently suggests that he's planning to balance the budget largely by slashing parks maintenance, although I'm not in favor of raiding PSEP for parks maintenance, I'm not in favor of slashing parks maintenance either. So again, I wanted to put an option on the table. I'm happy to listen to other revenue options. And again, I don't think that, I think we can't always add money back after we adopt this initial budget, but I just wanted to put something on the table. And what particularly appealed to me about this is I think that it's a fair tax. And it's a tax that over 60% of Portlanders endorsed for another purpose 7 years ago. So far, I have to say, I have not heard other members of the council come forward with, here's how I would balance the budget by making the following cuts. I haven't heard other members of the council come forward saying, here's my proposed revenue increase. And the only members of the council who I've heard talking about, other than an all cuts budget, have said raid PSEP, which I'm against.
I understand. I think, though, an absence of information doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I have made plenty of suggestions to the mayor about what I think needs to be cut or saved. So, and I don't think we've even had the ability yet to really talk out those ideas. So I don't agree that because they're not there, that they don't exist. But, you know, which is why it's important to me to receive that budget so that I could have put into better context this proposal, but any other general proposal. But I think I'll leave it at that for now, and then I'll pass it on. Thanks.
Actually, Councillor, I would like to,
You'd like to respond, Councillor Novick?
I would actually like to ask, and I ask the Council President to keep us on task in terms of violating these ridiculous budget laws, but I would love to hear generally what your thoughts are for cuts.
Okay, Councilor, we can talk offline.
Okay. And just as a reminder, if folks want to engage in that topic, though that's not part of the agenda that Councillor Zimmerman left us with today, we can talk conceptually about values and things we believe we should preserve, things that don't fall within our top priorities. What we can't do is talk about specific numbers, because that would be an amendment to the mayor's budget, which we don't have yet. But the conversation about what would you be willing to cut or not, at a high level is fair game. Councillor Green.
Thank you, Chair. Vice Chair Pirtle-Guinea, Acting Chair Pirtle-Guinea. I just want to sort of acknowledge that I see two of my colleagues fighting for PSEF, and you know, Councillor Avalos, you've laid out a really consistent strategy of defense, and I tend to agree with everything here. I think the thing that I also see Councillor Novick doing the same. Although what I don't know yet is whether or not the proposal on the floor is riskless, or what degree of risk is. And so, as I said earlier, I'm gonna look at that. But my North Star is gonna be making sure that the Portland Clean Energy Fund's benefit fund, it remains something that exists into the future, because it's our future generations that depend upon this. Councillor Zimmerman is not here anymore, but I do want to respond to a couple of his comments. And I just want to say that I'd really like to uplift the PSEF the committee itself. I really do think that that is a really good governing body, and we should give it its due in code to sort of weigh in on this. So I'm glad to hear that you're going to go and present to them. I think I saw that on a slide, and we'll see if they change their minds in interacting there. But it takes time to scale these programs. This is the PSEF program is relatively new. The committee itself adapts and evolves, and they are all
sort of aligned with this idea that if we don't act boldly, we're going to leave our children worse off, which is something that we can't undermine. I think the contingency question that Councillor Zimmerman was raising, there is a lot of uncertainty in the cash flow timing, I think, of like normal Portland Clean Energy Fund revenues, even aside from this tax. I mean, there are, if I understand correctly, some credits that can sometimes change the cash accrual basis of what comes in and out. So I think if you're doing a five-year plan, it's totally reasonable to have $100 million set aside for the execution of that $1.6 billion plan. I think going forward, we're not going to see this big accrual of funds that just sits there, even though it's going to be doing some work, because we will have ramped up to our rate of execution and we will be spending as we get it. So like, it's not that that argument won't be there in the future, that or that complaint, I should say. And I think if we're going to make changes to how that climate investment plan looks, we always go through the committee. So I guess I'm bullish on this committee. I think however we're approaching this, we need to remember that that's what voters approved. And, you know, I'm going to continue to do the same. So, but if we get down this road and it looks like people aren't supportive of your of the PSEF proposal, I'm happy to have a conversation on other revenue strategies. But we have precious little time, I suppose.
I put myself in the queue before I was handed the gavel. I am also bullish on that committee. I think it's really important that in order to honor the work that community has done, we take our proposals there. And I appreciate that I have two colleagues sitting to the right of me up here who are both trying to defend the work that community has supported in very different ways. I think it's important that we note that we have, I think, four people left at the dais here who all think that PSEF is a really important part of Portland's strategy. I've said numerous times that I think it's one of our city's single greatest assets in terms of setting up a stronger future for our community. As I look at the proposal we have before us today, I'm looking at it, yes, in its relationship to PSEF because of the potential for risks that Councillor Avalos has raised to the underlying fund, but also, and I think equally importantly, as a piece of how we look at our budget work and our revenue needs for the city. And one of my colleagues mentioned that our revenue sources in some ways are very broken in this community. And I think that that's right. And that's a broader conversation that we probably ought to have at some point. And, you know, Councillor, I've gone back and forth on this proposal, and I think I've shared with you some of my concerns and also shared with you some of the reasons that I think that this is somewhat elegant. But I keep coming back to a concern about the broader conversation that we need to have, and just wanting to make sure that we don't have a rushed conversation because we are worried about cuts that will be before us and aren't before us yet. We're going to have to make hard decisions. We're going to get a balanced budget. We're going to have to figure out if we want to balance it differently, and it is going to be really hard. I appreciate having this as part of the conversation, but I also want to say on the record that I hope that we don't use revenue to avoid having hard conversations about the cuts, and that we still think very carefully, not just about the broken revenue side, but also how we can set up our city to do our work more effectively. Councillor Zimmerman mentioned the many new bodies of work that we've taken on as a city. And I think that we need to consider what our body of business is alongside our considerations for how we pay for it. Councillor Novick, I think you have the last word in the queue.
So I will use the last word actually to respond to what you just said, Madam President. For one thing, I don't think the city has taken on that many new pieces of business. The county has, Metro has. We've taken on doing something related to the homeless crisis, and I assume you're probably not saying we should abandon that. Maybe we should. We took on the arts tax, which I think is ridiculous and should be absorbed in some way. But I think that to a great extent, the city gets tagged with things that are not ours. Specialty taxes that aren't ours. And I also am concerned that yes, we need to have big fat conversations about, you know, grandiose things, but what was it, Councillor Green, that Karl Marx said about real corporeal man with his feet planted firmly on the solid ground? I mean, we don't just need to think about broad philosophical ideas. We are going to need to balance an actual budget right now. And I am not, and I know you're not saying this, but I'm not willing to accept that we have to balance it only with cuts or we wait for a big, long philosophical conversation.
Thank you for acknowledging that that's not what I said, and I do understand your point. Councillors, we do have time left on the agenda. If anybody has other questions, we have our budget folks here, questions for our colleague or anything else we need to discuss.
I'd just like to respond to Councillor Novick about the Marx quote. Marx also said in the beginning of the 18th primary, said something to the effect of, you know, all the previous dead generations weigh like a nightmare on the brains of the living. So previous revenue choices that we've made in the past, specifically really allocating every single one to a specific use down to the T, I think has left us a little bit vulnerable.
Councillors, before he left, our committee chair asked me to inform everybody at the end of the meeting that at our next meeting on Monday, April 28th, because it is budget season, this committee is meeting a little more frequently, so we are meeting next week. We will get a general fund forecast from the City Budget Office. That will be an update on funds that we should expect to be available as we go into our budgeting process. We will have a presentation from Prosper Portland. It is our role as City Council to be one of the many groups that is part of the process for approving their budget. And we will also have the ordinance before us that we discussed today, sponsored by Councillor Novick, to amend code to increase the clean energy surcharge to 1.33% and increase the business license tax gross receipt exemption to $100,000 to mitigate deep budget cuts to critical city services effective January 1st, 2025. With that, I will adjourn our meeting of the Finance Committee. Efficient work, folks.